The 13th century was a period of partial recovery. We hear for the first time of Jews in regions adjacent to the Rhineland. The Palatinate, AD 1225, Freiburg, 1230, Ulm, 1243, Heidelberg, 1255, etc. But it was to be only a short respite, for the 14th century brought new disasters to Franco-German Jewry. The first catastrophe was the expulsion of all Jews from the royal domains of Philippe le Bel. France had been suffering from an economic crisis, to the usual accompaniments of debased currency and social unrest. Philippe tried to remedy it by the habitual method of soaking the Jews. He exacted from them payments of 100,000 livres in 1292, 215,000 livres in 1295, 1299, 1302, and 1305, then decided on a radical remedy for his ailing finances. On June 21, 1306, he signed a secret order to arrest all Jews in his kingdom on a given day, confiscate their property, and expel them from the country. The arrests were carried out on July 22, and the expulsion a few weeks later. The refugees emigrated into regions of France outside the king's domain, Provence, Burgundy, Aquitaine, and a few other feudal fiefs. But according to Mises, quote, "There are no historical records whatsoever to indicate that German Jewry increased its numbers through the sufferings of the Jewish community in France in the decisive period of its destruction," end quote. And no historian has ever suggested that French Jews trekked across Germany into Poland, either on that occasion or at any other time. Under Philippe's successors, there were some partial recalls of Jews in 1315 and 1350, but they could not undo the damage, nor prevent renewed outbursts of mob persecution. By the end of the 14th century, France, like England, was virtually Judenrein. The second catastrophe of that disastrous century was the Black Death, which, between 1348 and 1350, killed off a third of Europe's population, and in some regions, even two-thirds. It came from East Asia via Turkestan, and the way it was let loose on Europe and what it did there is symbolic of the lunacy of man. A Tartar leader named Janabeg in 1347 was besieging the town of Kaffa, now Feodosia in the Crimea, then a Genoese trading port. The plague was rampant in Janabeg's army, so he catapulted the corpses of infected victims into the town, whose population became infected in its turn. Genoese ships carried the rats and their deadly fleas westward into the Mediterranean ports, from where they spread inland. The bacilli of Pastorella Pestis was not supposed to make a distinction between the various denominations, yet Jews were nevertheless singled out for special treatment. After being accused earlier on of the ritual slaughter of Christian children, they were now accused of poisoning the wells to spread the Black Death. The legend traveled faster even than the rats, and the consequence was the burning of Jews en masse all over Europe. Once more, suicide by mutual self-immolation became a common expedient to avoid being burned alive. The decimated population of Western Europe did not reach again its pre-plague level until the 16th century. As for its Jews, who had been exposed to the twofold attack of rats and men, only a fraction survived. As Kutschera wrote, quote, "The populace avenged on them the cruel blows of destiny, and set upon those whom the plague had spared with fire and sword." When the epidemics receded, Germany, according to contemporary historians, was left virtually without Jews. We are led to conclude that in Germany itself, the Jews could not prosper and were never able to establish large and populous communities. How then, in these circumstances, should they have been able to lay the foundations in Poland of a mass population so dense that at present, AD 1909, it outnumbers the Jews of Germany at the rate of 10 to 1? It is indeed difficult to understand how the idea ever gained ground that the Eastern Jews represent immigrants from the West, and especially from Germany. End quote. Yet, next to the First Crusade, the Black Death is most frequently invoked by historians as the Deus Ex Machina, which created Eastern Jewry. And just as in the case of the Crusades, there is not a shred of evidence for this imaginary exodus. On the contrary, the indications are that the Jews' only hope of survival on this, as on that earlier occasion, was to stick together and seek shelter in some fortified place or less hostile surroundings in the vicinity. There was only one case of an emigration in the Black Death period mentioned by Mises. Jews from Spires took refuge from persecution in Heidelberg, about 10 miles away. After the virtual extermination of the old Jewish communities in France and Germany in the wake of the Black Death, Western Europe remained Judenrein for a couple of centuries, with only a few enclaves vegetating on, except in Spain. It was an entirely different stock of Jews who founded the modern communities of England, France, and Holland in the 16th and 17th centuries, the Sephardim, Spanish Jews, forced to flee from Spain where they had been resident for more than a millennium. Their history, and the history of modern European Jewry, lies outside the scope of this book. We may safely conclude that the traditional idea of a mass exodus of Western Jewry from the Rhineland to Poland all across Germany, a hostile Jewless glacis, is historically untenable. It is incompatible with the small size of the Rhenish communities, their reluctance to branch out from the Rhine Valley towards the east, their stereotyped behavior in adversity, and the absence of references to migratory movements in contemporary chronicles. Further evidence for this view is provided by linguistics, to be discussed in Chapter 7.